This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
From Manhattan, Tony Stark, what's happening? Got a new suit, it's styling. So go and get to snapping. I post it for you, players. Post it for you. Do a flip, then drop a perpetrator. Stop him for you. Got an apartment with my auntie. Oh, two look like Demi. Make me an Avenger. Spider-Man in that family. Got me if you want me, Tony. Got me if you want me, said recruit me if you want me. Took down Ant-Man cause you wanted to. Dodge all the sneak attacks, I don't need no eyes on him. It's the Spidey sense, ain't got no surprise on me. Call me so amazing, so spectacular. Do all that a spider can do. Web shooters up on my wrist. You know I make it go thwip. That's how I live that Spidey life. That's Spidey life. That's how I live that Spidey life. That's Spidey life.
You are now about to experience the ultimate Marvel podcast. And now, I hand it over to your host, Roddy the Baron.
So Vader introduced us. This is episode 19 of the Ultimate Marvel podcast. Jack said on the previous recording that an episode wasn't coming out until the Spider-Man Homecoming review.
You saying he lied?
Yo, he ain't my daddy. He don't tell me what to do.
That's right.
We're all about that Spider-Man life here.
That's right.
I've actually been waiting to do this episode with Nick and Daryl and Rob Krieger, who can't make it tonight because... We're going to break the fourth wall. It's like 4th of July weekend, right? So he had
and it's
stuff
late.
To do. And it's late.
Yeah, Rob got a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of responsibilities. Kids. And if he doesn't get up early and start reading those comics before the kids wake up, forget about it.
He's got
That's right.
He's got a lot of churn. He's got a lot of churn.
He's only on C or D right now because he goes alphabetically.
That's right. That's right.
So what I figured we would do is our love for the Spider-Man comic books before you guys or whoever comes back on to do Spider-Man Homecoming review.
It's going to suck. I'm just saying, because Jack's not here.
Don't say that.
Oh, it's going to suck. It's going to suck, just like Guardians of the Galaxy
2. Oh, man.
I didn't even see it yet. I'm just being a troll. I'm just trolling on the show.
You're on blast right now.
I'm on blast right now. Maybe it'll have a script unlike Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
It's an improv class.
Yeah. You know, ooh, maybe Han Solo needs a Walkman in space also. You know what? I think that's why they fired the directors, because they watched the reels and they were like, who does a movie in space with people singing and dancing and there's no plot? What do they think this is? Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy? Get out of here.
Wow. Wow. The flamethrower's out tonight.
No.
I said it. Satisfied. Bam. And you just... Okay. Now we can get into Spider-Man.
So.
I just want to see how Ronnie can wrangle this whole
wrangling. No, we're good.
Truck on fire back on the tracks.
Nope. I ain't even touching it.
Because I'm not doing it.
I ain't even touching it.
My podcast. We'll never be invited back on to Ultimate Marvel Podcast.
No. See? And I'm supposed to do the Spider-Man one with them, too.
See?
That's going to be something, isn't it? That'll be funny.
You know, Jack has you guys on, and you guys are good boys. And then...
Well, Jack edits us out.
And he has us on early in the night, so we're not that drunk.
Yeah, he does a heavy edit. So, I've heard the show. Yeah. Jack does a heavy edit. He's like Marvel. He changes things to make it seem like, you know... He doesn't call it a relaunch, but, you know...
He's renumbered us quite a few times.
Yes, he has.
So with Spidey... I know Nick's huge on Spidey. Daryl, I know you've read you've read comic books forever, but I didn't know Spidey was one of your favorites?
My four comics that I was reading as a kid, because my mother... Ah, there goes the gunshot. Because my mother loved me enough that she wanted me to read. She got me a subscription to Amazing Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
And then I had Batman and Superman. I think was the other one.
Was this the tan paper?
Yes.
Wraparound time, or was tan this paper they...
rolled up comic? Mailman could give a crap.
Yeah.
How it looked.
every cover being bent because mm-hmm. it's in that damn manila paper.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Or it's stolen because the damn mailman discovered you're reading Marvel Team Up or whatever.
Oh, that's my favorite. I used to love it. There were even times when it had a footprint on it, on the brown paper, because probably the mailman was so sick of delivering it, he dropped it, stepped on it a couple times. Said, "F these kids, stupid books. Get a job."
So who would be your main Spidey villain, like the big one?
Mm-hmm. Probably, I mean, the biggest everyone ever talks about has got to be Norman Osborn, only because he's done the most tragic things to Peter and pretty much gotten away with it.
Right.
I mean, he killed his girl and was like, deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Take that. I mean, you know, and plagued them all the way through.
Right.
So, I think you almost have to remove the Green Goblin.
Really?
Like, my buddies and I, we've had we'll discuss jazz, and whenever mm-hmm. we talk about saxophonists, you mm-hmm. just take out John Coltrane from the equation. Like, you can't even include him. Come on.
Okay, yeah.
And with Batman, it would be the Joker.
Right.
Yeah. With Spidey, it'd be Green Goblin. Like, you have to remove him.
You have to take him out, yeah.
He's just so good.
So, Nick, who would yours be then?
Oh, God. Well, it's of course Green Goblin. If I'm removing Green Goblin, then I was a strange kid. I liked the Prowler.
Right, yeah.
And I liked the Shocker.
Yeah.
Because both of their costumes were just so cool. But can I ever name an arc that was spectacular with them? No. No, I just can't. Like, those stories didn't really ring all that much. I loved seeing them, but they weren't impact villains.
Right, yeah.
Oh, no, because Spider-Man had more, like, early Spider-Man had so many quick hits
mm-hmm.
and done. Like, his villains, they didn't do, like, you didn't have, like, seven-part stories with Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, he'd be fighting, like, Aunt May would be sick, of course, like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he would run into, he would knock out the Shocker, take him out real quick, and then he'd have to rush home and do something. And then like another villain would be, they would give a page to another villain that's going to mess with him next issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like he swings by and he's staring from the darkness or something.
Or Peter comes home and sitting on the couch is Doc Ock.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. Like, they had great See You in 30 Days cliffhangers like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, they did.
But the crazy thing, see, I'm from the old school. Those are the type of stories I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of a sudden there's the Sinister Six, mm-hmm. that would have blown my mind as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, six villains in one comic? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Or they even
you only
the
got
12.
That for, like, Justice League or Avengers. That would be the only type of comic book where you'd see, like, six versus six.
Yeah. Because
think of the Roger Stern stuff. I mean.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the explosion.
I was going to say, are you firing off your shotgun? What the hell? Man,
I'm going to protect my land.
Zombie apocalypse coming.
You will not take my land from me, I swear.
How about you, Ronnie? Where are you going to go for your favorite villain growing up?
My favorite main villain, I would say, would probably be Doc Ock, actually, even over Norman.
Interesting.
Oh, you mean... You mean Dan Slott now, because that's basically what he is.
Well, yeah. Well,
no, I'm serious.
Because back then it just seemed like he was more methodical about being the villain. As to where back then Green Goblin was more like menacing type thing. But
yeah.
But the cheesy villain, and I don't know why, but was the Spot.
Oh yeah.
Cause now when he shows up in Jessica Drew in the new series, I like blew my shit. I was like, oh, the Spot's awesome. This book's awesome just because he came into it, you know, just because it was a cool, I don't know. It's like one of those, you know, you have like those Calendar Man and, you know, type of villains for Batman, but like that one, you know, he has a whole bunch of spots and he can go in and out, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's some weird. Remember the frog? The frog guy?
Yeah.
He was trying to be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ridiculous as hell.
Springs on his feet.
It's just a mess. Like, clumsy, the whole nine. But he just tried to be a hero. But it was just so... I enjoyed the hell out of it, but it was just so... Like, stuff like that could just happen.
Yeah.
You could just have the frog show up. Or the Will-O-Wisp.
Right.
Oh, that was great.
Remember that adventure with the tarantula? I think it's one of my favorites where it was a storyline that went through where eventually the tarantula got transformed into a real tarantula.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to fight him, and then he wound up, it was a long thing, like the Will-O-Wisp was in, like everything kind of like just piled in on Peter at the same time. Like he had to fight the Will-O-Wisp because he didn't remember who he was, but he was trying to get revenge because the Will-O-Wisp was turned into this creature of energy. And I think one organization did something to him and he was trying to break them up. I can't remember what was it? Well, it was one of those secret organizations in Marvel that was like evil that did it to Will-O-Wisp when he was trying to get revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter was trying to stop him because he didn't know who he was. And it was like a whole thing. And he would find out stuff by accident. Like it would be, you know, there'd be a big explosion like that. And there'd be, you know, Peter would just jump in and then he would have to lead back and then find out everything like second hand or third hand. Like he would never know. Like the Hobgoblin, he didn't know who the hell that was. You know how long, how convoluted and crazy the Hobgoblin mystery was?
Yes, I do.
And yet, it happened because editors were like, I don't want that to be I changed my mind. I don't want that to be the bad guy. I don't want him to, they made it, you know, like it was Ned Leeds, then it was,
Could it have been an Osborn?
Yeah. Everybody thought it was, though. Everybody thought it was when you first saw
it. It was so fun.
Yeah.
It was a great mystery.
You know, Roger, what was it? Kingsley. It was Kingsley. It was Jason McAdale. It was...
I think you're right with Ned. Wasn't it a Ned Rogers or somebody?
It was Ned Leeds first.
Ned Leeds, there you go.
And he died. Yeah. And he wound up dying. But then they didn't want it to be... Then they changed it to make it that it was like they used Ned Leeds. Mm-hmm. They like kind of set him up to be the Hobgoblin. But I mean, that was a long-standing, you know, story. Because I remember reading that, which I think is one of the best team-ups that were ever written. I remember reading the Wolverine Spider-Man team-up story, where I think that was when Ned died. He died during that. And remember when he got so angry that Peter had he was punching the crap out of Wolverine. He just kept punching him in the head because he was so angry that Ned had got killed. Because that was the whole thing, because Betty put him into the story. Because Betty Grant got him to do, you know, he was trying to save Betty Grant's husband, I think.
Yeah.
And it was a whole thing with that. And but I mean, it was so dark, and it was just I think that's when he kind of learned that, you know, Wolverine, the kind of world that Wolverine is involved in, you can't handle that world. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not you.
Yeah, there's no light spot in that world.
Right. Right. This is espionage. People die here.
This was before Bendis got a hold of Wolverine.
Yes.
And made him funny and quippy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Wolverine went around smoking all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is when he got involved in something, it was to end it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like some stuff would come up. When he would leave the X-Men, it was like, I ain't killed somebody in a long time. I need some blood on my blades. Cause on my claws, because I haven't killed in a while. Like
this motorcycle seat's only built for one, so I gotta get going.
And it was stories he could never tell Scott or anyone or Xavier in the group. Like, you could never tell them.
Yep.
That's what I thought Remender's X-Force was gonna be.
Yeah.
Like, oh, stuff that's off the books, that's so bad we can't tell you. I was so excited to read that, and it was a good series, but it was still one of those, like, well, this is just like X-Men. There isn't really anything horrible
that
you're doing.
Well, that's the thing about it. You don't do a team when you're going to do that.
Right.
Yeah. You don't need a – like, when you're gonna do something like that, because the thing that happens is you can't – especially when there are people on the team that have a conscience.
Yeah,
Sila got a conscience. You can't have Sila go on your team if you're going to do some wet work.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you right there that the book is not going to be like that. When they put, like, they'll have, like, Sabretooth, Wolverine, you know, like, X-23, and then they'll be like, Iceman. And you'll be like, what?
Exactly.
How the hell is that going to be, you know, that group?
And, you know, going to the... bounding off this point, and Ronnie, I hate to derail the conversation a little bit. The untold stories that I want to hear is Black Widow. Because she went off by herself and did some spy shit that no one else was allowed to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And those are hey, modern Marvel writers, write that story.
Yeah.
Like, get those stories out there. Not from current times. I want to hear stuff that she was doing in the 70s and 80s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Cold War shit.
Yeah, when she left. When she left the book.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden she'd come back to Daredevil or a Marvel team up here and there, but she was gone for tons of time.
Yep.
She left all the time. I mean, I recently read they put on the Unlimited app one of her I think they call it oversized stories. Like, it'll be it's like a big oversized issue, and it's only like one or two issues. They're not very, like, big stories.
Like the Marvel premiere stuff that they
call
it?
Yeah.
Ooh, the black and white type stuff.
It was color, but it was that adult tone. And one of those, and that particular issue was someone was murdering people that she knew, of course. So she had to find out who was tracking down her ex flames, you know, ex agent, people she, you know, people she had worked with in the past. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they were tracking them down. They were just killing them. And I remember the first freaking panel of it was she just got finished. She's waking up after banging this dude. She had a party at her apartment, and she had just banged the dude, and she was like, "All right, you got to roll out. Like, it was fun last night, but it's morning time. You got to go." And her apartment was like a mess. It had like
bottles. I was going to say, that apartment had to be trash.
Oh, it's trash. She had like a big...
Hell yeah. That's my girl.
Party in the city. She had a party in her city apartment, her penthouse apartment. And it had, like, all these liquor bottles around. She was talking about how her head was hurting because she was hungover.
Mm-hmm. Was that guy, like, rubbing his shoulder and limping on his way out? Like, she just abused him.
Oh, he had no, he was just like, you're out. Like, he was off panel. Like, once he said, you got to go, he was like, he's out. Like, he doesn't matter.
Yeah,
she's James Bond. It's not about you. It's not about you. This is Black Widow's story. This ain't about dudes. You just give it to her when she wants it, and then she's out. Like, you know, that's how she rolls. But that's her thing. Like, that's how she's been trained. Like, her whole thing was she had Hawkeye doing crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
She manipulated the hell out of Hawkeye. She was like, don't you want to go and kill Iron Man for Mama? Don't you want to do it? Don't you? And that was her thing. She manipulate, to agitate, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what she did, man. She had, that's stuff I miss, you know,
same here.
Nowadays, it's like, they always want to get away from the nightcaps.
Yeah.
They don't want to have the nightcaps anymore. Like, you can't, it's like superheroes don't have sex lives anymore. It's just so
PC,
so boring how they do it now. Yeah, it's just so PC. They don't do it anymore.
Even like Slot Spider. Sorry to circle back to Spider-Man. Even Slot Spider-Man. Like, mm-hmm. I'm reading what the hell is it? Spider Island. Currently. Yeah.
Right.
And it took so long to show those him and Carly.
The cop, right?
Yes, the CSI girl.
I'm like, if this was back in the day, Peter and that girl would have been boning after the first 3-4 issues. She'd be introduced and they'd be in bed like the next 4 or 5 issues. Instead of this thing of like, will they or won't they thing. And then when they finally do get together, that's when something bad happens to her. And then,
oh yeah, there was like a discussion on one of these issues where she mm-hmm. wanted to discuss something with them, and the topic was her getting these spider powers.
Right.
And he of course wanted to avoid, like, oh boy, it's going to be the talk. What did I do? Oh boy. Mm-hmm. And he invited her into his apartment, and he's like, can we just go to bed and talk about it in the morning? Mm-hmm. And the way it was played off, it was like, can you just hold me for the night, and then we'll talk about it in the morning. It was just like, oh, come on.
Come on, you're not doing that. That's one bad spot about Dan Slott's Spider-Man run.
I don't think that's Dan Slott. I think that's editorial coming down.
I don't know, because Dan Slott, even now, I mean, I've been reading it since he started doing it, since before, because it was like him and a think tank of writers that were doing it, and then he came back. Mm-hmm. He never really had, he made Black Widow now. I mean, not Black Widow, Black Cat is like evil now, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is off to, that's off to me too. Like, this doesn't make any sense that she wants to be a gangster now.
A gangster,
she wants to do. Yeah, so
everybody else, seems like it makes sense, right? Like Lonnie,
right, and
Hammerhead and stuff. But
it's just, like her, it's like thing, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But he doesn't seem to write like relationships well, like romantic relationships very well. He doesn't do dating. He doesn't seem to write dating very well.
I'll have to disagree on that part. Because I thought
what relationship that he done? Relationship?
It's when Doc took over his body and the little... his little assistant.
Get out of here. There is no way in the world Doc Ock, who's been nerdy as hell through his life and bullied, and then as a scientist treated unfairly by the community and laughed at, and then when he went to the villainous route, totally he went through a whole bunch of embarrassing moments. You get the body of Peter Parker, full of spider strength, fertility, power, sexy dude. You got abs now. I'm sorry, you're not jumping and dating I don't know. I don't want to be.
The little person.
I don't
want to
be offensive. So what do you call? You're not dating a little person. I'm sorry. You're not.
But
he's not a kind person. He's not a kind. He's not a good person.
But hey, Daryl.
Hmm.
I'm gonna have to at least put a caveat in here. It doesn't matter if he has abs. He's still Doc Ock.
Right.
He's still the wounded boy.
Mm-hmm. Of course he is, which is why he would overcompensate and go to Vegas and sleep with a bunch of women. There's no way he's not.
I think dudes, he was still so insecure.
I've seen dudes that go through this whole thing of they were fat in school, and then they went into fitness, and they became Hercules to overdo it, so that they don't want to be that guy again. And not only do they date, but they get ridiculous.
See, I liked that relationship with Ock and her. But I know you did,
but that's not realistic. I'm sorry, that's not realistic.
But I'm telling you right now, I don't care. And the thing with slots writing, to be honest with you, even the Carly, like, let's sleep on it, can you hug me in the, you know, hug me at night, that type of thing. To me, it talked to the 8-year-old Spider-Man reader. Like, I was reading Spider-Man comics before I could read, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we're both in the same boat. Yeah.
I would be looking at those pictures, and then when I finally figured out how to read 2 years later, I would go back and read the word bubbles.
Oh yeah.
But it, like, that for me, that slot, like reading his before the think tank, which I would definitely put that into quotes because there was a huge dip when Slott wasn't there for me.
Well, yeah.
But I would say Slott was writing to that 8-year-old Nick.
Yeah.
It was very innocent, but like his black cat, like all of her flirting and sexiness, but it wasn't like really like overtly sexual, but it was still one of those things like she is so distracting to Peter and she's distracting the 10-year-old Nick. You know, it's just,
but there was an adult like thing in Spider-Man. There was more of an adult tone to Spider-Man. Like Spider-Man,
sure, yeah.
Even when I look at the movie, I think what throws me off with the movie right now, the portrayal of him in this movie, is this kid is all teamed up and he's a fan of Tony Stark and all of that, but there's not that sense of rebellion in him. Like he seems to be like Spider-Man back in the day when I read Spider-Man. It's changed now because and over the years. But when I was reading Spider-Man back in the day, there was that part of him that he could be mean. He could be snarky, downright disrespectful, because that sense of authority, he had that. Even though he was that kind person when he was Parker, he'd be the nice, nerdy kid. But when he put that mask on, all of that, he released all that pent up regression that he had from being treated so badly as a kid.
You think Spider-Man's aggressive?
He was totally aggressive. Read some of those issues. There was one issue where he said, I'm not going to be Spider-Man anymore. I'm quitting because I'm tired of people. I'm tired of Jameson treating me the way he has. He was angry. Like there were times with Spider-Man, he was very rebellious. Those early read some of those early Spider-Mans again. Very rebellious.
I have read and I disagree. I don't think he was ever that. I think he was how the hell do I put it? I always read it like he never could live up to what people wanted, so it was an act of frustration, not aggression.
Well,
just like everybody's against me, F this, I'm gonna quit.
Yeah, but I mean, how is that? Of course,
he always gets, but he always gets pulled back in.
Oh, of course.
Like there's always like there's always a shame, and then like no, I have to do this. No, if I don't do this, no one will.
Well, that's the thing. He would rebel as a child. He would have an outburst almost like a child, and he was kind of a child at the time. And then he'd have that inner turmoil, and then he'd have that, you know, he'd have Ben's voice saying, "I can't do this. I got to go back. I got to finish this. I can't give up. I can't." See, like, he always had that.
But I look at it like slumped shoulders, not aggression. Just mother effer, I have to go back and do this. I don't want to, but I have to.
That's how I saw it too.
But there was definitely some anger in him, and even the way that Ditko wrote him. Because remember, at that time, I mean, that's what teenagers was. I mean, that was the heart of celebrating and being anti-establishment. Like, even that's why he said to the Avengers, "I'm not joining you." Like, he always had that in his head that they don't think I'm good enough. No one thinks I'm good enough.
Oh, yeah.
And it would always be something that would mess something up. Like, remember when he bust into Fantastic Four's headquarters? He's like, "You know what? I'm going to join this team. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them that I can be part of this team, and I'm going to get paid." And he busts into the Fantastic Four Future Foundation eventually, and gets in there, and then they're like, they have to fight him at first, and then he's like, no, I'm just doing this because I want to join in. Like,
yeah, I want to prove this to you.
I'm proving myself. You know, I'm Spider-Man. I don't make appointments. I'm just popping in, and then and he's like, "All right, so when do we get paid? Let's do this." And they're like, "No, we don't get paid to do this. We do this for free." And he's like, "I got bills, son. I can't, like, this whole team thing is great. And getting recognition is, you know, is all good, but I got bills. I got an aunt to take care of." And
he had a lot of responsibility on his shoulders.
I got responsibilities. Yeah. He was like, yes. "F this." He said, F you, Fantastic Four, I'm out." And then then Johnny, who was definitely rebellious.
Oh, I absolutely.
That was their connection, because they both had that sense
of that
rebellious streak with them.
I look at it like Johnny brought that out in him. Like, yeah. he never felt like he could do that, but it was certain people in his life that brought that rebel. Like, he wanted to, but he always felt responsible. He always felt like he had to, like, be above it.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man had that dichotomy, and I think that was one of the things that I gravitated towards, and other people did too.
Same
that he had that dichotomy of, that's what attracted us as kids to him, was that he was independent. Not because he wanted to be. He had no choice. He had to be independent. And from that, he had that sense of self-isolation. At times, like, felt like he had to be isolated, and there'd be so many misunderstandings. Like, "I wish he understood. I didn't mean it that way." Like, there were so many times.
Oh, absolutely.
Where he would leave in a huff. He would leave in an angry huff when he thought that they said something offensive or something to him, and he took it
the wrong way.
Entirely the wrong way.
Yeah.
And they would, like, even with how Xavier, I think that's what another connection he had with the X-Men, was that he was treated that way too. He could understand feeling like an outcast, like the X-Men were treated as, you know, even for though sure. He wasn't a mutant. Like, that was that connection he had.
Not at that time. He wasn't a mutant at that time.
No, at that time. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Now?
At that time. Now he's a mutant. Everybody's a mutant.
Yeah, give me a break.
Well, everybody's an Inhuman now. It's not a mutant anymore. Everybody's an Inhuman. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think that it kind of, that's the stuff that, I guess you get to what Spider-Man do you like. Like, with Batman, which version you like the most? That's the Spider-Man I like the most. The one that was independent, didn't want to be on a team. He thought it would hurt him to be on a team. Like, even though deep down he loved these, he grew up loving superheroes, right? He grew up loving, you know, Captain America and Avengers and Fantastic Four. But he always felt like, it's just that part of him that was like, I can't join the team. It just wouldn't work.
the version that always speaks to me and still does, even as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
There's points where in my life, like, I never would say, what would Jesus do? In my head, it's like, what would my dad do? Or right. What would Spider-Man do? And it's one of those things, like, I hold myself to a higher standard. And it for me, my Spider-Man is, he can do all these amazing things, but yet he still has to pretend like he's this awkward, average young adult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part, like, it took me until modern writers wrote Superman to realize that's sort of what Superman goes through. The hardest thing for him is just to be average and to pretend like he's average. And that just, like, that breaks me up. And it has nothing to do with, like, Uncle Ben getting shot. It's just him feeling responsible, him acting responsible for his aunt and all of the cast of characters around him that he loves that are surrogate brothers and sisters and uncles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, but he could do so much to benefit them if he could just earn money with his special abilities and take care of people that he loves, but he can't.
Right.
But that, it just tears me up whenever I think of that Spider-Man.
Right. And I mean, find a way. Yeah,
and I'm one of those people, like, I loved, like, him and Mary Jane, loved when they were together. But I still go back to the awkward college, high school Peter Parker.
Yeah, by the time he got to college, like, it's funny because you think of a nerdy kid, but he had some hot women.
Hell yeah.
You know, like, he had a lot of lovely ladies in his life. I mean, Gwen and Betty. I mean, these women were in love with him. Mary Jane, he turned her down. He was like, yo, I got this blonde. I ain't got time for this.
Right.
I mean, I know she good and all, she cute and all, but I'll get back to you. I'll call you later.
But come on, Daryl. Peter is like the perfect ex-boyfriend or even ex-husband. Like, I love that Slack wrote that he has a great relationship with this CSI scientist girlfriend who's on a roller derby team, yet Mary Jane is there, and Mary Jane isn't threatening to Carly. Carly isn't threatened by Mary Jane. It's like, it's a nice adult relationship. It might be completely not realistic, but for Spider-Man's universe, it totally fits nicely.
For the college stuff, that is more realistic. To be able to date in college, you date women. You date you. One minute you're romantic with each other, and then the next you kind of lose interest in each other, and you go on to something else, and you stay friends. That just happens. Like that's more realistic than not. Where they like his exes would still be a part of his life. Like him and Betty were still cool. They were still close. You know, when they dated, it was a very special point in their lives, right? You don't lose touch with that. Like they grew up and went through a lot of tragic stuff together. Like you don't lose touch with that. So that stuff is realistic when you grow up. I mean, that's the kind of thing you do deal with. Even the black cat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She had more of experience than Peter did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was very aggressive about it. She brought him in. She taught him.
Yeah, she taught him that.
She taught him how to be more comfortable with who he was after a while. Like, he had to deal with that. Like, she wanted Spider-Man. She didn't give a damn about no Peter Parker.
Right.
She wanted Spider-Man. She brought out that thrill-seeking thing in him. Because he had that more daring, thrilling side of him, the more thrill-seeking side of him, because there is that side of him that he liked it. He liked these fights and he liked the adventure of doing this stuff because it was things he couldn't do when he was not Spider-Man. Like you had to constantly worry about how I'm gonna pay for this, how I'm gonna do that. When he put that mask on, it was like I get at least a couple of hours of not feeling the weight of the world on my shoulders. of the mundane world. You know what I mean? The mundane part of the world. He got to do the fun stuff, you know, fighting these supervillains and all that. Even though it was hard and it was rough, but he would always reflect on it every time he would quit. And he had multiple times where he was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. There was that side of him that he had to kind of reconcile as the years went by, that he loved it. He loved the thrill of being able to be the superhero and be out there and beating these, you know, on top of course, being responsible and trying to do right. But there was that part of him that loved it. He loved to jump in and swing. He would swing for no reason. He wasn't patrolling. He would just want to get out there in the suit and just be able to swing around the city. Uh-oh, murder shed time. Who's opening the murder shed door?
That was me.
Oh, uh-oh. Get the bodies out.
Hey, every boy needs a black cat. Come on.
You do. Every boy's had one. Well, if you didn't, I'm sorry. You should have. You learn a lot from the black cats in your life.
I have stories, but this isn't an open bar episode.
No, so. No. Let's
keep this Ultimate Marvel podcast.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean for Jack.
Sorry for derailing the conversation, Ronnie. Ask another question.
Yeah, go for it. It's your job to reel us in. We just babble.
I think he fell asleep.
Did he fall asleep on us?
No, I'm here.
He might have fallen asleep.
Oh,
I think he fell quiet. Asleep.
I think I had it on mute, actually.
Oh, you muted yourself.
So we were talking about, you know, Fantastic Four and joining them and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Spidey's had lots of different costumes. Which one is your favorite, and which one is your least favorite?
Ooh. Nick, why don't you go first this time?
My favorite... God, I don't... Okay, my favorite is Steve Ditko's Spider-Man with the web underarms.
Right.
Nice.
I just love that look. Mm-hmm. If I dream about Spider-Man, it's that look.
Right.
I love his cosmic look, the white look, but not just because it was so dumb and so different.
The red, white, blue cosmic look?
Yeah. Okay. I like that look. I thought that was neat. I don't know if I have a real bad look unless you want me to go into the, like, ultimate verse or something. Like, I guess the hoodie look might be the worst one for me.
Oh, the Ben Reilly time?
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I think he had fun looks, whether they were kick-ass or not. They were always different, and they all sort of made sense.
Okay.
At least for me.
Right. Daryl?
Number one had to be the black suit for me. That's always going to be my favorite.
Really?
I love that black suit. I love it. And when he's in the dark.
Just because it was slick? Like, really, like, clean looking?
I just love the look. Maybe it's part of it is the slickness. Part of it is the stylistic way that when you had that light, when he would have the Spider-Man light, the spotlight focused on it, and he'd be, crawling on the wall or something. Like, that look of it. It just, when he would be moving and doing, and maybe it was the artists that were involved when that suit was first coming out, when he was using the suit, it just made it look good, so good to me. I just absolutely, I loved it. And even when they went back to it in the JMS days, when he went back to that suit, to go after the person that pretty much shot and probably would have killed him if he didn't fight the devil, kill Aunt May. The battles he had, you know, when he would go off, when he would get emotional with that suit, when he fought the Kingpin in that suit,
mm-hmm.
and kicked the Kingpin's ass because he wasn't holding back,
right?
I loved it. Like, I love the way that suit looks. Like, I love the webs when they would have the webs behind him, and he would be, and they started to like color the webs a little bit more white or silver. Right. Like, the webs would look a little bit brighter, and he'd look menacing like a spider. He'd look like the creepy spider. Like, just imagining him in an alley. Like, I used to love that too. Like, he'd be in an alley coming down on the criminals, and he'd be in that suit, and you see the white image, the symbol of the spider as he's coming at them. And
like
the
that
eyes.
Like that web of Spider-Man, what was it, number one?
Yeah, number one.
That's like a painted cover with all those webs behind him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Love it. I think the worst suit.
But can I at least try to sway you over to the Ditko suit just for the spider light on his belt?
That's
pretty freaking awesome.
I'm only picking my favorite. Like, if we could do a list, I mean, it'd be part of the list if we could do it, like a top five suit.
No, this is Ronnie's question. This ain't the Nerdy Legion.
This is Ronnie's question. That's right. I'm following the rules.
Dang it. I need you to be a naughty boy. You're going for that black, that naughty black suit. I need you to be a naughty boy.
I know. We got time. The worst suit is that Fantastic Four suit when he had the paper bag over his face.
Oh my god. Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, the blue Fantastic Four suit.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was.
He looked like the unknown comic. It was.
Yes, that's exactly what he looked like. He looked like.
At first, I thought you were going to go Future Foundation.
No, I like the
Future Foundation look.
I like
that
suit too. That was a good suit.
But you're right, the unknown comic. I'm changing mine.
There was no way that looked good. I don't think there's no way that suit looked good.
And I get Spider-Man's funny. He's probably one of the few characters that, for me, his comedy hits the right tone and right amount.
Right.
But holy Christ, who thought to put him in that dumb thing? I would rather like when he sprayed his face with spider webs and went back, like, you know, he lost his mask. I'll take that over a freaking bag.
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah.
Oh, good catch. What about you, Ronnie?
It's kind of funny. The best, I think, for me, just because of the tone wise, my favorite one was like the Iron Spider one.
Ooh. Mm.
Just because of the situation. Now, least favorite would be the Cosmic one. Sorry, Nick.
Oh, I loved it. I wasn't a fan of that either. It was so dumb.
I don't know. It's just.
I thought you would have said McFarlane's version.
Really?
Ronnie, because you're a little younger than us.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I did like that. The Spider-Man number one cover that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, and I love that run. Right. But I don't know. It's just, there's something like serious business about the Iron Spider suit. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's just menacing mm-hmm. and.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's a great poll.
But I do love that, that Sensational Spider-Man though. Remember that bat with the shooters on the outside?
Mm-hmm.
There's something I always liked about that. I always dug it.
And the Future Foundation one I thought was pretty cool. Just because it could... Well, I mean, it's traditionally white, but he can make it to whatever he wanted.
Right.
And I don't know, but for me, like, the Spider-Man Noir one, that one was pretty cool too. When it had that series.
It was a good design. Yeah, it was a good design. He had guns.
Oh yeah. And it was like steampunkish more, because he had the goggles too, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, the Spider-Verse thing, I love seeing all the different Spider-Men in there.
Yeah, yeah, him and Batman are similar with, you can do a lot. Mm-hmm. You can mold them a lot. You can do a lot with the designs of when you do the altered Earth type stuff.
Right.
With them.
Yeah, rich tapestry for sure.
Yeah.
You can Whether play it's with villains that. Or history or alt history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, even like when you were talking about the black suit and like him coming in the dark alley, right? That's almost like,
yeah.
That's almost like Batman just hanging there and then grappling down.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing. So we talked about major villains, sidebar villains, favorite suits and worst suits. What about story arcs?
Oh my God. I already know mine. It's one that I've dreamt of many times, and it's one that when I think of goofy spider arcs, mm-hmm. I'm still so in love with it. And I honestly, I think I've read it. I probably own 4 different versions of it because whenever I see it, I have to buy it. But it is the one with Morpheus. And it's the 6-armed Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
I love that look. It's so dumb, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I love that look, and it's just, it's a short story arc, but
yeah.
And it essentially, it doesn't mean anything in the history of Spider-Man.
Right, yeah.
Nah.
But it just rang. It spoke to the child reading it, and still to this day, it's still one of those, like, I could read things that make more impact on me,
right.
But I still fall back to it.
Yeah, that was Gil Kane art.
Mm-hmm.
And he had those arms.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, it was only 2 issues.
Yeah, that's all right. But I mean, really, if you think about it, it really, like, Spider-Man didn't have long arcs.
No, like, that's right. Yeah.
Like, his B stories would go through, like, an entire year.
Yeah.
But it really took books. Like it took Stern to really come on board with like Hobgoblin and that like it took like before ever there was like more than a 4-part, 3-part story. But that's why I loved him. That's why I got subscriptions to Spider-Man because I never had to sit through a 12-arc comic book. I didn't have that money and I couldn't find those issues.
Right.
Right.
That cliffhanger once a month was just enough that you could barely.
That's all I needed.
Yeah.
That's all I needed.
Well, yeah, it just teased you for who's coming.
Right, right.
Yeah, for me at least. It's like, oh boy, here's Electro. He's coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's the Spider Slayer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one I used to dig watching him fight. The dude with the tail.
Scorpion,
yeah. I used to like watching him. And he had ties to Jameson.
Yeah.
So it was fun to see that, the ties to Jameson. And, like, it was just something about it. Even in cartoons, like, it was just something about seeing that suit. Even though it was a ridiculous suit, but it just, I always enjoyed it. Always liked seeing that design and fighting that thing.
I was going to say, how many, and maybe Ronnie, maybe you have a question, but the amount of big Spider-Man villains that you look at and just like, well, that's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even as a kid, you looked at like, that's a tail. Like, if he has to hit Spider-Man, and it's not a long tail.
With a stinger
actually,
on it.
Yeah, he actually has to turn around and slap him with it.
Yeah, yeah. And then they would add things like, of course, it would always have some type of acid on it.
Mm-hmm.
or a big poker at the backside.
Yeah,
Or even like Rhino. Ridiculous. Right? Rhino's a big tank-like person, And you got Spider-Man who's agile and can get out of the way at all times, but yet he's in peril. So, and then you got...
Yeah, and he always said something like, for somebody that big, he moves incredibly fast.
Right, yeah. It's
always does that.
Yeah.
But with the almost same power set, when the X-Men ran up against Juggernaut or Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Ooh-wee, was that good.
Yeah.
Well, you pick my storyline. That's one of my favorite storylines because it's one of the books I read when I was a kid. That was one of the books that came in the mail. I think I got it twice. I think they made a mistake and sent it to me twice.
Oh, hot dog. Was that the one, Daryl, that had Madame Web in it, too? Was she in that?
Was she?
I didn't think she came until later.
I don't think she was. Because remember, it was he was on his way to get to bring the medicine to Aunt May.
Yeah, that's right.
And he got into a fight. It was only two issues. It was only like I don't even think it was two. Yeah, I think it was just two issues.
But some great covers, though.
The cover of like the helmet. It's like Spider-Man swinging, and you see the back of Spider-Man swinging as he faces off this gigantic Juggernaut head.
What about the other cover where isn't he laying in rubble and Juggernaut's over him?
That's the second part.
Oh,
the first part was the confrontation, and I remember that. And I remember, and it was you never forget the scene. Of it was left off where he was buried in rubble, right? The end of that scene, he's buried in rubble.
He's dead.
Aunt May is dead. Aunt May is dying. She don't get this medicine. She's dead, right? Which is ridiculous because if she was that sick, she'd be in the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. And if she's that sick, there's no medicine. There's no small thing of medicine that you're going to give her. It's going to automatically just save her just like that. It doesn't work that way. But who cares? Who knew? Who cares? Right? Right. You're a kid.
Yep.
Spider-Man ain't dead.
He ain't dead.
Because his hand's shaky out of that rubble. All you see is his hand shaking. That's it.
And he gives himself a pep talk. It's like, I can't fail. Can't do this. Gotta keep pushing. Gotta keep pushing until I get it done.
Hell yeah.
And ripped himself out of it. And Juggernaut didn't even care about Spider-Man. That's the thing. He's like, he's a nuisance. He didn't even care about that dude. He's just smashing crap.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even supposed to do this. He wasn't even supposed to be here today. It was like one of those. Like, you weren't even... Like,
wrong
if it was
place,
another
wrong
day,
time.
Wrong place, wrong time. It wasn't even supposed to be that. And this dude, this Spider-Man, beat him. This dude beat him. When he put him in the cement, and he totally covered him in the cement, and it's like, you're not supposed to win. That's impossible.
Yeah.
You're not the X-Men. You don't got a team.
Hell no.
No, you ain't supposed to be able to do something like this. This is ridiculous. Not the Juggernaut.
Mm-hmm.
But he pulls it together.
He pulls it together, he does it, and he goes home, and he saves Aunt May, and it's all good, and then it's business as usual, because he got to go try to earn some money again. It's not like everything's all great and dandy at the end. It's like, you know, got to find another job again.
But you know, bills. One part about paying the bills that I absolutely love, even to this day, is when he would go up the side of the building and grab his webbed camera.
Yes.
When it was there.
Yeah.
When it was there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And the stuff didn't dissolve. Remember when he would have to come up with new... I used to like that, too. He would always constantly have to come up with new solutions to strengthen his webs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. Like, he would get beat up in a fight because it wouldn't work the way he wanted it to. And he'd be like, let me go home and fix this. And he would go home and he would, like, that's what I liked about Tony Stark too. Like, he would go in and be in a fight, get his ass kicked, go back to the lab, do some tinkering, come back, beat the dude. Like, I like that. That's the stuff I always dug about these kind of characters, which they don't do anymore. Like, they don't really do that too much.
No.
It's like the suit does everything, or they work it out where, you know, they don't need to go back and tinker and stuff, but that's stuff I used to love as a kid. Like, you figure out a way. You go back and you work on your you have to learn as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Like even with the X-Men, like they had to learn their skill set, had to expand. They had to train and do better.
It was all trial and error.
Always trial and error. You fail, and then you'd have to go back in that go back in the danger room, mm-hmm. and you're gonna learn how to do this right.
Yep.
And that's the stuff I loved, and that's what Spider-Man. That's what he did, man. He'd have to figure it out.
But even as a boy reading this comic, I was always under the impression that J. Jonah Jameson, he's just a dum-dum. But how Robbie wouldn't be able to figure out, is Peter taking pictures on the ninth floor of that building?
How the hell
did he have that like angle? Like everything was like a high-pitched angle for all mm-hmm. these fights.
Robbie knew. He's like that dad that's like, I know you're reading them dirty magazines. I'm just not going to tell.
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
You know,
that.
I'll look away. Listen, you got to learn about this stuff. I'll pretend I don't see them. You just don't leave them out. Don't be disrespectful.
Right.
Don't leave them out because if your mom see it, it's going to be a problem. But I won't tell on you. And you ask me questions later.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep.
We do it that way. And Robbie always had that wink wink thing with Peter. Like JJ being an asshole and then Robbie would call him behind and call him back and be like, look, Peter, hold on. We're gonna take it.
Yep.
Take this money, go do what you gotta do. It's all right. And he'd be the one to be able to talk to Jonah, be like, look, enough's enough. He'd be the only one to get away with it too. Nobody else get away with that.
He was so good.
He was the only one that could get away with saying to Jonah, yeah, "All right, now you're talking too much. You got to cut that nonsense out. Mm-hmm. You're getting a little too crazy. Mm. Calm it down."
For me,
what about you, Ronnie?
For me, I'm going to have to say Eric Larson's Revenge of the Sinister Six. Like that story.
That was a summer blockbuster for, yeah.
That was.
I mean, because, like, it had all the fun people with him, though. Like, Deathlok was there and Ghost Rider. Mm-hmm. But it also, like, the Sinister Six you had. And for me, Hydro Man was fun. I mean, of course, he was dumb, but, you know, he was fun, right?
Right.
And then, you know, of course you had Hobgoblin and all them in there. And then you had Paladin.
Double shipping.
And Paladin was in there.
Paladin was my dude, yo.
Yeah.
Paladin be that dude. He come in for a minute. He come in, bang. He come in with Janet like, I'm in town.
Yep.
What you doing? And they hang out, and then he go on back to doing it. He's going back to doing his stuff, his business, whatever it was.
But that was like it was like everything that I read as a little kid, because here I'm older. But like it had that feeling, like Nick's talked about, you know, the little kid part, but yet
mm-hmm.
like the kooky characters like Hydro Man, it made it more realistic, but he was still cheesy. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah.
And then of course, you know, you had Paladin come in and guest star, and Deathlok back then was crazy back then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then of course, you know, you had Eric Larson, so
can't go wrong there.
No.
Yeah, he had some good designs on the villains.
Yeah.
It took me a while to warm up to him, because I was, after McFarlane was gone, I'm like, you're not McFarlane. you get used to that.
Even Solo was I think it was like issue 20, 21, somewhere around there.
Mm.
Because, you know, Solo just got reintroduced, you know.
Solo, I remember him.
Yeah. And so, like my son, He's like, oh, that's a cool new character. And I was like, oh, dude, when I was your age, he was there, but he wasn't. He was more flushed out back then.
Yeah. Solo.
Yeah.
What kind of name was that?
I don't know.
Right?
It was like Solo. It was like the generic Punisher, basically.
That's basically what he was.
Paladin was Deadpool before Deadpool.
True that.
Well, Paladin was agent, though. He was more like a renegade. You called him in to get things done.
Right.
And he kept it quiet.
He was like, because wherever there was Paladin, there was Silver Sable to follow. And Silver Sable was like my black cat back then.
I can see that.
So, I know Nick's answer, but what about you, Daryl? If you think of Venom, who is Venom? Who is the guy that is infested by the symbiote suit?
It's funny because I was reading it when it was Brock, right?
Yeah.
Reading it when it was Eddie Brock.
Right.
But I love me some of the Rick Remender. Venom version with Flash. I do because I think he took that character and he did something.
Preach it.
He did something totally cool with it.
He put his countdown clock on it.
Yeah.
Flash can only have this suit on for 24 hours. Let's start the clock.
And when you think about it, Flash, like Eddie, also had something to prove because he was a dick most of his life. Right? Yeah. He did have something to live up to. Because he did take. And then you got to see Flash grow up. You got to see Flash go from that dude that just messed with Peter for no damn reason. Yep. But at the same time, he loved Spider-Man, which was funny. Right? He loved Spider-Man, but he'd treat Peter so bad. And then he went off to war.
Became broken.
Was a real hero, went off to war, and then lost his legs, man. Like, what?
A shell of himself.
Shell of himself, and he had to pull himself out of it, and and then you get that Venom, and he got a chance to be a hero, right?
Yeah,
but you had to deal, but he had to deal with that adversity. I think that's what I liked about it too, because he had a lot of adversity to deal with too, because the suit, he always had to fight with the suit for control. Mm-hmm. He had a time limit on that suit. And then plus it gave him the ability to walk, which, I mean, who wouldn't, if you lost that, who wouldn't want that back?
Right.
I think it was the suit that built up his confidence, and then he started to date Betty. You ain't dating Betty Bryant when you're a shell of a man coming back from war.
True that.
Missing your legs.
Betty's forgiving. Betty, that's the thing.
Absolutely.
Betty wasn't thinking about them legs. She didn't care about them legs.
No.
No, but I'm just saying, like, for him, though, that's a self-conscious thing,
Right. He couldn't get it. He wouldn't get it. Like, she was
trying to tell him. Built up his confidence.
Right.
Betty was like, come get this, man. I'm trying to get this to you. You got this. I'm trying to be in your corner, and you just don't get it. Like, you can't get out of your own way. We could be happy right now, and you rather wallow in this whole, darkness thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Don't get me wrong. I love me some Eddie Brock Venom.
I do too.
I thought that was a game changer. Loved it. But I like the Remender version and the Colin Bunn version. I think it was Colin Bunn who introduced, if you're a good person, the suit will adapt to whoever is the host.
Right. Yeah.
And that totally made sense for Flash and moving forward. That's why when you told me Eddie's wearing the suit again, I was just like, but he was anti-Venom. And guess what? Anti-Venom spoke to the 13-year-old Nick.
Right.
Like, I thought that was so cool that there's a character that thinks it's doing, Eddie thinks he's doing good. Right. But yet, whenever he gets around Spider-Man, he can actually interrupt Spider-Man's power.
Right.
But he thinks he's curing him.
I'm trying to remember, though. Is the suit that they, is that the suit Flash used?
I can swear
that Eddie got back again?
The new one?
Because remember,
oh, that suit, I don't know.
Okay. That's what I'm saying, because that suit, when they, when Bendis took it to the symbiote planet, the thing, the excuse is for those symbiotes when they act like that is because they're young babies, and then they're supposed to go back to the planet.
No, this is the old one. This is the original one.
So what's the one that Flash got eventually? Is that
I don't know. But this is like, because in the this new issue, it they're talking about being separated or being together, mm-hmm. like they were,
right?
And then they were separated, and that's Eddie's drive, is that he's missed it so long that he's not changing, and they're pretty much like married, basically.
Because I read 150 also, and I'm trying to I just don't remember where they got, because all these, they had all these crossover symbiote
event
things where they had the reigning of the symbiotes on Earth that time. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to, I can't remember if the one that Flash got was from that, or was it a piece of the symbiote?
Yeah,
that, of Brock's that symbiote
could,
or not?
That could be.
So I just, that's the only thing I couldn't remember. But that was, because that was the deal. That was like when he went to the planet. Now it's mature and it's more of a you can control it better. Like the suit is easier to control when mm-hmm. you're
empathetic.
When it matures. They say the new status quo is when they go to the other planet and they finish the metamorphosis. Now they work with you. They're not supposed to, like, try to take over.
Right.
They're supposed to be like a blending of you and the symbiote, and the symbiote is supposed to work with you.
Kind of like Shannara and Exo Manowar style.
Right.
I was gonna go Vulcan mind meld.
Look at you! I never turned that down. That's Star Trek, man. You can't.
You're making me wanna go after the Venom, like Space Knight and stuff like that. I haven't read any of the Cosmic Venom.
It's not that. It's a Guardians of the Galaxy one. I don't think they're that great.
Okay.
But I just read them because I'm a Guardians of the Galaxy. It's one of those things where I take the pain. I know the heroin is bad for me. it ain't the kind of, you know, you've been taking it so much that you don't even get a high from it no more. You just take it just so you can, you don't have the pain.
Yeah.
You aren't even chasing the dragon anymore.
Chasing the dragon.
you're taking it to get by.
I'm just taking it to get by. It's like, oh, okay, I'll read this. Yeah. I'll read it just to see what's happening.
And then you have withdrawals afterwards. It's like, why did I just read that?
Yeah. Why did I read it? Like a tear goes down. Like that one tear drops. That's that reading. They have destroyed the characters I love. This is horrible. Thank you, Bendis. And then the tear drops.
But see, I loved like the anti-Venom. I loved
the Remender
bit. Even Colin Bunn, I thought his run on Venom was fun. It was fun. It none of it's game changing.
Right.
When you're gonna recommend Venom, you're gonna go like, hey, Todd McFarlane, here you go. Read that.
Listen, even when Venom was Venom, it's not like it was the Shakespeare of comics.
No. Yeah.
It was fun. Venom was like, he was the same. He was crazy. It was the dude that was like, you know, I'm going to be good. But he was creepy as hell. You never knew. Like, you never knew what his sense of morality was.
Yeah.
You could never trust it. So that was, like, and then they had the lethal protectors, Venom and the lethal protectors. So, like, crazy stuff. Like, he loved it, though. He came in, everybody with big guns and, mm-hmm. Big tons swords and weapons. Tons of pouches. I mean,
no feet.
That's what it was. No feet.
Yeah. No well, my spider, just a tangent from Venom, my Spider-Man blind spot out of the history of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I bought the stuff. It's sitting in my Comixology queue waiting for me to read it. So I am going to get caught up on it. But my blind spot is Carnage. Never read one issue of Carnage. I'm not talking Carnage solo title. I'm talking anything in any spider
really?
Title.
Wow.
Never read it. And when somebody tells me about Carnage, I'm just like, he's a serial killer. Okay. Just like Venom never impressed me. Other than it was creepy, and I love that he'd be staring at Mary Jane in this really perverse way.
Yeah.
Or he knew, I know that Aunt May lives at this address. Let me look in a window.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can kill her at any moment. Like, that was frightening as a reader.
Almost, but, definitely.
But it was very one tone for me. So it's just like Carnage, like I just assumed that would be Venom times 10. And it was just like, I don't need to. Because at that point, there was no digital comics. You couldn't you couldn't find trades of it. And God forbid you those Spider-Man issues weren't pricey.
Right.
By no means.
Right.
No.
But, but I'm not going to go like, let me take my notepad of Spider-Man issues that I missed with my, pen or pencil on and find these issues. I wasn't that inspired by Carnage.
I can see that, really. I mean, now that you explain it like that. Because
that was right around the time, Vertigo launched, right?
Right.
That was, mid-90s.
Yeah.
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 So I was already reading Sandman, and I'm like, there's no way this is Shakespeare. Carnage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Carnage was only, he was pretty much, they needed somebody to be a bigger threat that Peter and Brock would have to work together. Like, because, that was basically all he was.
Well,
he was Three's company?
Pretty
much. Because Venom was so bad, he was cool then.
Right.
So,
he became so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, we can't get rid of him. We got to keep it going.
He was
so what we'll do is, right. So we'll get a dude that has no conscience whatsoever. He's pretty much Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
What if Jack the Ripper got a symbiote?
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
Yeah.
Well, I have tons of Carnage waiting for me. So
it's not all that bad, really. But I mean.
It's not Maximum Carnage. I enjoyed the hell out of that. Yeah. I played the video game when it was coming out.
Yeah,
I played the video game. I read the book. I read the comic at the same time.
That waiting for me, and I can't wait for it to be. But to be honest with you, even bad Spider-Man, going back and reading it now with modern sensibilities, anyone can come up and tell me like, "Oh, that's a horrible issue. Oh my god, I can't believe you're reading it." It's like, "Hey, dum dum, I'm probably reading that issue for the fifth time."
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't care that it's bad.
Right.
It's like, that doesn't faze me whatsoever. I don't expect everything to be Shakespeare. Yeah.
Right. You just dig it.
Like clones conspiracy. What time
frame. Hey, I have all of that waiting for me.
Or, no.
The Ben Reilly saga, I have all that stuff waiting for me.
Yeah. Well, not the new one, but like the clone saga, right? The initial one that everybody shit on. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, you can bag
on it. No, I'm not bagging on it. I mean, everybody else did, but it was like, what did you expect?
Shoot, I loved it.
Yeah.
I read it, and I loved it. Like, you had Ben Reilly coming out of that. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had him going off on his own for a while, and, you know, all that stuff, man. I ate it up. I thought that was like some of the best. I mean, it had a million issues to read, but
right.
And they had like stuff happening in Texas. Like, who goes to Texas?
Right.
I'm saying it's too hot over there.
The X-Men went to Texas once. That's it. Jim Lee brought them to Texas. That's it.
Yeah.
But so good.
Yeah. Agreed. And it's like, well, for me, like the dumb stuff, right? Spider-Verse, it spun off Web Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love Web Warriors. It's like a guilty pleasure. It's just, you know, I'll take Spider-Ham all the time because he's, you know. But
because he's ham and he's spider.
it just everything worked, you know. Like I don't get the whole Spider-Gwen type rush thing, but like
that was design. That was a design thing. Yeah. People loved that design first, and then they were like, "Ooh, we got to come up with an actual story."
Because see,
that design was dope.
Yeah, yeah, that's what happened. They came up with design, and people were like, "Well, where's that comic? I want that. I'll buy that."
But, yeah, I hate to say it. That's probably one of the best designed Spider-Mans. Yeah. Like I would even say it's the best modern design for sure.
Oh, most definitely. Mm,
yeah.
I mean that ranks for Marvel superheroes. That's up there with the new Cyclops look. Well, not new, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I love that Cyclops look. Like that Spider-Gwen, that is just a fantastic bit of design.
The Dick Cyclops look?
Right. With the X?
With the X on this? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great look.
Absolutely.
Dude. But even like Silk, like I dug Silk just because it's like a different take on it. I mean, I know it's Spider-Man and we're, you know, going a different way with it, but. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Silk. Silk had more of a storyline.
Yeah,
of substance than Spider Gwen. It's just that she just wasn't as popular as Spider Gwen.
Right.
And definitely more adult in tone.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. Yeah. It's just too many. I mean, probably you can't have 15. Spider-Man type books.
Right.
It's just too many. It hurts it.
Daryl, did you ever drop off of some of the Spider-Man books, or have you always kept with them?
I would keep the main Spider-Man books, but like something like a Spider, you know, like if they had a Spider-Gwen or something, it's like that's not something I felt like I needed to buy if I didn't have to.
What about like Renew Your Vows?
Yes,
I'm doing Renew Your Vows through Marvel app. Yeah, I'm reading it through that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dropped off of it, and I was a lot more picky even with like Batman when Batman's the only one that can sustain 15 titles a month.
Mm-hmm.
But for Spider-Man, like as soon as they hit Web of Spider-Man, I mean, this is like a kid that didn't even have a summer job at the time other than babysitting.
Oh, I was getting them all. I don't know how I afforded to buy them, but I was getting them all.
That was the time where I was like, can I drop one of these? Because there were so many titles coming out and they were so good. And I mean, this was like Sal Buscema was... drawing like oh my god, they like there was no complaint. It was just one of those like Marvel, you came out with one too many titles. Mm-hmm. Like I can't start this one up.
Well, I even bought the when they started when they started putting back out the Marvel team ups, remember that? They just put a new cover on it. I was buying that. I was even buying that.
But I was buying like even Marvel Tales. I loved it. Because there were no trades to buy, so you have to go back and get those.
Yeah,
most definitely you had to.
But then all of a sudden, like, remember, wasn't it Byrne who was doing like web spinners?
Was that the one where it was like?
It was like him retelling Spider-Man.
Hmm. Yeah, it was cheaper. It was cheaper paper.
Yeah.
And it didn't last that long.
No, but it was Byrne.
It was Byrne, but I remember it. I was getting it, and then they were like, it's canceled.
Yep.
Well, you boys want to wrap this up?
No, I could go on about another 3 hours. But
I thought this was just part one. I thought
it could be like part one.
I can't believe Ronnie only had three questions. What the hell?
I'm saying.
We went on different avenues, and like I can go ahead and ask the question, but I mean we already answered them on the roundabout. So.
I think we should do this again. Make it like a documentary thing where it's this is only part one of it.
Yeah.
Because we
barely scratched the surface.
Surface on Spider-Man.
Yep.
I don't even know if we went into the 90s all that much.
No, we didn't.
We didn't.
No.
That's what I'm saying. We barely touched it.
See?
Baron, come on. You're supposed to be driving this car.
Well, hey, there's all kinds of content. I'm not going to let it go. We'll come back and talk Spidey. I don't care. We could come back and talk Spidey all the time.
Yeah, Jack will get busy again, and we could do another one.
That's
right. Another Saturday recording in there.
Yeah.
But can I ask both of you before we head out?
Sure.
Because I know my response. Where does Spider-Verse fall for you in all of the Marvel big events? Where would Spider-Verse fall? Like Spider Island, reading that, it doesn't feel like a big Marvel event.
No,
it doesn't.
But Spider-Verse is such a contained. I wouldn't even say it's a Marvel event.
No,
I don't.
It's a Spidey event, really.
It's a Spider-Man event. Feels like a big event.
I just consider it a Spider-Man storyline that I enjoyed. Like it's one of the new Spider-Man storylines I really enjoyed. That's what I consider it. As opposed to it being like, I don't know, I just don't put it in the vein of, maybe because Marvel and DC do events every damn year now, all year round, that I don't even consider it an event anymore. I just think of it as, this is just, if this was back in the day, it just would have been a Spider-Man story. It just would have been considered a Spider-Man story, and it would have ran in all four books.
Right.
That's true.
If they had it. Yeah, that would have been it. It would have been in Web, Sensational, Amazing, and then regular Spider-Man. And it would have ran through that and been done, and you would have got a big annual thrown into it, too, because that's how they used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's boom. And then the aftermath would be in Amazing.
Yep.
Because that's how they did it.
See, this, and I agree, it's a Spider event. It is an actual event. But I still put it at easily in the top five Marvel events for me. Looking at the Marvel landscape, especially the modern Marvel landscape, how many times do you hear from Hickman, Fraction back in the day, Bendis back in the day, like explaining 6 months ahead of an event or a crossover event?
Right.
Like, this is what we're trying to do. And rarely do they ever hit that hyperbolic statement.
Right.
And Spider-Verse, when they came out and said, you're going to see every Spider-Man carnation that's ever been in print and on TV and through other media. And sure as crap, they hit that. Even if it was like a complete failure story-wise, it was amazing that they could shoehorn in that many different characters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It was fireworks for the eyes. Like every issue had like three or four, like, oh my God, I can't believe they put that character in.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
plus,
like,
it ended well. I like it. It ended well. Like
it didn't
have that. Like, I know people are I know some people are enjoying Secret Empire. But reading Secret Empire, it's more like he is explaining more stuff than showing it. In the books I've read so far, like, I'm up to date on it. I've been reading Secret Empire, and it feels like more of it is either hype online. He's trying to tell his story online, explaining it, and then there's more. But each issue, it seems like he's doing more explanation and dialogue than he is through the action, And with the Spider-Man stuff, like when I look at the Spider-Verse, even the recent, even though it didn't end, it ended very quickly. The last one, Dead No More or something. What was the name of it? Dead
Clone Conspiracy?
Yeah, Clone Conspiracy, right. It ended, I think the only thing bad about that story was that it ended so fast. It was like,
yeah,
there was such a lead up to it. It was going really good. And then it suffered from, because there were so many stories, so many books that ran too long, that they were like, we're not going to have this run long. And and that was probably when they needed it to go
right
to more issues, as opposed to other events that they've done that with, and they didn't need it. So it's like, they don't, now it's the point where they don't even know when to do it and when not to do it.
Well, see, and I also think they
need to have it breathe.
Well, mm-hmm. I also think that, like, when Clone Conspiracy was coming out too, like, we had Death of X coming out also. That was like a big, huge event or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it had to compete with that. Now, Clone Conspiracy for me beats out Death of X, but that's just me.
Yeah, it does. Totally does for me. Listen, you know how I feel about what they did with the X-Men.
I know.
That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. You know,
even though
I'm digging it, some of the X-Men books now.
Yeah.
But to get to this point where they were at, man.
Yeah.
And oh man, get it together, get it together.
Now, Ronnie, before we head out, I need to say at least one old man statement.
Okay.
And this is completely for Marvel.
Okay.
Marvel they have to bring back their GD summer annual crossover event. God bless it. I need that. I need Marvel team-ups back. I need Marvel 2-in-1s back.
Well, they brought that. That's coming back. Marvel 2-in-1.
Yeah. Well, I need it. I need all that. But I miss the summer annual events. Like, oh, those were so fun.
Well, you can't do them when you have so many events all year round. That's the thing. It ain't special no more in the summertime to do it. When you have
I hate to say it, the summer annuals, that'd be a perfect way, because all you hear about is writers on both sides of the fence bitching and moaning that I was writing this 10-page story and they needed me to wrap it up in 7 because Death of X is starting. Guess what? Yeah. You had you don't even need the same writer and artist doing that annual. As long as that's number, 12 of whatever, 22 annuals out during the summer.
Right.
Like, I could care less. Like, as a young reader, I could care less who was writing and drawing that. I was getting it because it was Atlantis Attacks.
I know.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Iron Man shot that dude. When he put that repulsive ray up, he was laughing at him, and he was like, oh. And he just let the repulsive ray silently, just let it go.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then got off the yacht. I was like, man, that was cold blooded.
That was cold.
That was cold blooded.
Yeah. It was like, move over, Punisher. Oh my God.
He was like, this ain't working for me. I'm not liking this.
Well, I'm on my 5th beer, and I think Ronnie wants to wrap this up. Right when it starts getting good.
Sorry, man. My laptop's on like 25 minutes.
Oh, man. Damn that laptop.
It only has so much power.
That's right. And my power cord is in the bedroom with a sleeping wife. So
Sometimes the universe tells you
it's time to wrap it up.
See?
That's true.
We got to keep them coming back for part 2, right? Keep them thirsty.
That's right. We could do a bunch. I mean, it's Spider-Man. Listen, the movie's coming out. It'd probably be kind of cool to every time, every now and then, every couple of weeks, we do a Spider-Man centric episode.
That'd be good. I'm down.
Hey, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Could I, before we leave, could I ask everyone a top 3 artists? Spider-Man artists.
Mm.
Not five. Three makes you really limit this stuff. Unless you want to go five, because there's been plenty of artists across plenty of titles.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
actually
not easy.
Actually, I'm gonna go five. We gotta go five.
Well,
and I'll start it.
All right.
Okay. Do it.
But this is in no order. This all is just five.
I'm not doing no order. Yeah.
I don't want to rank these.
I gotta do them as they come to my memory because I got white spots. I don't remember.
Well, this is just first blush. That's all I'm gonna say. So I might be skipping people, but and I fingers crossed that they've already passed, so I'm not going to offend anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Ditko.
Okay.
Romita Sr.
Mm-hmm. Sounds similar.
Marcos Martin. And mm-hmm. I know he only did a handful of issues. I don't care. Shut up.
It don't matter.
He was Ditko Jr. Look at that. That was – he was blazing some Steve Ditko.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what all of these haters can hate. Go ahead. I'm drunk. I don't care.
Do it.
John Romita Jr.
Damn right. That's on my list.
Hell yeah. The fifth one, holy Christ. No, that's easy, actually. God, why even think? Sal Buscema.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
So good.
Yes.
So, and he did a long run. He was there.
I co-signed all you said, and I'm going to add another one because I think he's killing it right now.
Ooh.
Stuart Eminem is killing Spider-Man right now.
Good call.
He is killing it right now. There's no way. You can't have him in the conversation years from now. You cannot say he can't. He shouldn't be in some list.
If there was a top 10, I would be throwing Giuseppe Camicoli in there because he did
some good stuff too.
Yeah. Years of a run. So
that's true. But Stuart Eminem is killing it. There are times I just stare at my iPad and just look at what he's doing. And it's just looking at just how great that stuff is. Like, it's just so good.
Yeah, it's a master.
It's a master. And
John passionate Robert, about that character.
Oh, my God, man.
It comes like, out.
Oh, my God. That's the way he makes that suit look. Nobody else could do that suit. And it looks good. I haven't seen anybody else do that Spider-Man suit, and it looks even 10% as good as when Stuart Eminem does that suit. Like, it's just, it's beautiful. And in the landscapes, I mean, the way he drew the torn down Lativeria and Silver Sable explosions. I mean, you got her with the rack pack and sword fights and Mockingbird, you know, Mockingbird with the sticks doing the battles with the staff and the whole shebang. He's a guy. Stuart Eminem, man, I'm telling you. If there was ever someone they needed to snatch up, give him some money, get that dude. Get that dude and put him on Batman and never let him go. Because that dude, he can sell it.
He's teaching a class.
He's teaching a class. You know what? I would put him on a Justice League book.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I would put him on a Justice League because I want him to do as many characters as possible.
Who can we kick off that... Hitch or Daniels? I'll kick both of them off.
Yeah, they could both go. I'm sorry. If you had a chance to have Stuart Eminem do the art,
yeah,
come on. I mean,
absolutely.
There's no way. There's no way you wouldn't have him do it.
Yeah, he's doing a clinic every month. Hey.
Whip slinging all around Manhattan. Tony Stark, what's happening? Got a new suit in styling, so go and get to snapping. I post it for you, players, post it for you. Do a flip, then drop a perpetrator. Stop him for you. Got an apartment with my auntie. Oh, two look like Tammy. Make me an Avenger. Spider-Man in that family. Got me if you want me. Tony got me if you want me. Said recruit me if you want me. Took down Ant-Man cause you wanted to. Touch all the sneak attacks.
I don't need no eyes on them.
It's the Spidey sense.
Ain't got no surprise on me.
Call me so amazing, so spectacular. Do all that a spider can do.
Web shooters up on my wrist. You know I make it go thwip. That's how I live that Spidey life. That's Spidey life. That's how I live that Spidey life. That's Spidey life.
I'm taking hits that hurt my ego. Vulture, where did he go? Please don't tell my secret. Promise me you'll keep it on the low. With great power comes great responsibility. I promise NYC that I'll never leave. Midtown, give me guidance. Every day working on science. Take a look at those heroes and tell me who's the freshest. Is it her?
Is it her?
Is it he?
Is it he?
Say it's me.
Say it's me.
And I'll agree.
Excelsior.
Touch all the sneak attacks.
I don't need no eyes on them.
It's the Spidey sense.
Ain't got no surprise on me.
Call me so amazing, so spectacular. Do all that a spider can do.
Web shooters up on my wrist. You know I make it go thwip. That's how I live that Spidey life. That's Spidey life. That's how I live that Spidey life. That's Spidey life.
You say that I'm the new guy. Well, here I am, baby. It's my homecoming.
Welcome and welcome and welcome to me.
That's
Spidey life. That's Spidey life. That's how I live. That's Spidey life. That's Spidey life. Web wings are gliding at night. Silk strings and webbing all white. That's how I live. That's Spidey life. That's Spidey life. That's how I live.